want to ask Roger Trulis to come. And Roger was in Brothermore's Bible classes for 36 years. Now, he may have learned something, you know, and I want him to tell you about it.
Good evening. Thank you. I would rather if Jack asked me to try to teach you guys something. It's hard to talk about, really. What a talented man. He had points. He heard the songs. There wasn't much that he missed. But more, I guess, as everybody knows, he started out in July 22nd, 1955. That's a long time ago. And I remember him talking about a man, and the man was called Shepherd. I don't know the first man's, the man's first name. Do you remember Brother Shepherd's name? Alan Shepherd. Well, Alan Shepherd knew more about the scriptures at that time than Brother Moore did. And by the way, before I go any further, I would like Bernice to stand up. We got the honor of her. The Bible says, honor widows. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Wow. The man traveled 1,000 miles a week, I know, in his early ministry. He never missed a night in Birmingham unless it was a real tragedy. And that's what I was. But I was talking about Bob Shepherd. And I don't know if I got all these facts right. Or Alan Shepherd, excuse me. That caused Brother Moore. He was trying to teach a class at Brookley Field. He was an aircraft mechanic. And I'm going to say Brother Shepherd knew these things, and it bothered him. Brother Moore had been a Baptist for a long time. And I don't know exactly what happened between 1955 or how long that was before he ran into Brother Shepherd, but he ended up on his bedroom floor because of the problems that Brother Shepherd presented him in the Bible. Now, I don't believe that Brother Shepherd ever saw all the points of right division that Brother Moore did, but who could? I understand we all got the Spirit of God, but you understand that Brother Moore laid on that floor and he said, Lord, he said, I'm going to lay here till you show me the truth. And when you do, I'm going to preach it, if you show it to me. And look at this. I got an order to do things. I always mess up my notes when I do something. I'm probably way out of this right now. But I was going to do this at the end, but I'm going to do it at the beginning. I'd like to show of hands to see how many people in this room received the gospel from Brother Moore. Look at that. How many people, and I'm going to include two groups now, how many people received the gospel from somebody that Brother Moore taught, that taught you the gospel? Wow. That about covers the room, folks. Now, I thought there might have been some folks here that doesn't know him, but it doesn't look like it. Wow, what a man. He was very talented, and I didn't think I could cover this all by myself, so I asked a few people to write me a few notes, and so some things I might have to read a little bit, and Jack, I hope I can do this fast. Would you turn to Romans 13? By the way, it's going to be awful hard for me to talk about Brother Moore without preaching the gospel. You know, I'm going to see Brother Moore again. And should he find out about this night and me not preach the gospel, we would all have a problem. So that's not going to happen. Whatever I do, or it's my testimony or whatever, you folks will hear the gospel. And, you know, I guess before we read this, I'm going to tell you something right now. It's important to you about the gospel. Now, you've already heard it. It's not anything new. But in this room right now, tonight, now listen close. Everybody in this room has forgiveness of sin. There's not a person in here that don't have forgiveness of sin. Well, what am I saying about that? Well, you've read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where it said God was in Christ reconciling the world. Are you in the world? I guess I'm going to deviate just a little bit from Romans 13. But if you're in the world, you know what? The night I got saved, Brother Moore showed me something. He was preaching Ephesians chapter 1. You know, and he had a nickname too. His nickname was Ephesians and Colossians. You see more. And he was preaching in Ephesians chapter 1. And what I found out that night is how dumb I was for 30-something years. I mean, it was stupid. I was chosen. This is what I found out. I was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Now, what did that mean? It's how Christ died for our sins that I want to talk about. What did that mean to be chosen in Christ for me? That Brother Moore taught me that I was chosen in Christ. You know? I saw that Jesus Christ died. And guess what? The wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ is perfect. He has no sin. Do you? If you do, you got a problem. If it's not covered. There's either two kind of people in this room that go along with everybody that's got forgiven sin. There's either righteous people or unrighteous people. And I hope I'm talking to somebody that's unrighteous, because Brother Moore, he would look around here and say, "You're here." And he'd look right at you. I don't know if I can do that or not, but he certainly would. So, I found out that the wages of sin is death. Now, I was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. The wages of sin is death. Well, as Brother Moore would say, problem. And he had that word in his vocabulary. Problem. The wages of sin is death. How can Jesus Christ die if Roger Truless is in this world and his sins are not on him? Think about that. I was in the world, and Brother Moore pointed out the wages of sin is death. I was raised in a religious system as a Church of Christ. And I later on joined the Baptist Church. And praise God, through Brother Moore's teaching, I learned about the iniquity of both of those things. It's horrible. It's not there. Salvation is tough to come by there. It comes out of this book. That was another thing Brother Moore told me. Now I'll get so many stories and get the notes of filtered. Brother Moore said, right here, it's where we learn about God. He said, "But Roger, that's ink on a piece of paper. God's not in those windows. He's not out there by that track. He's not in the court. He's in this book." As Brother Percy pointed out, if you don't have the correct book, put it in that garbage can over there. That's a great place for it. So, Brother Moore talked about the ink on this piece of paper separating me from eternity. We had lots of conversations about that, and they were fantastic. But I'm talking about Jesus Christ taking my sins to Calvary, and he did yours. So all you have to do is to receive that. You know, you can't pick up a pamphlet and say, "God save me." You can't pick up a pamphlet and say, "God forgive me." That won't work. Jesus Christ did because God allowed it. God allowed him to go to the cross for you. And if he did that, all you have to do is receive it. We know what a free gift is. We're saved by grace through faith. It is a what? Gift. Well, if you got a gift and you ask for it, it's not free. There's going to be something attached to it. Everybody in here knows that. But in salvation, there's nothing attached to it. The only thing that's attached to it is, like it says, well, Brother Moore taught me to be a Berean. And I believe right there in Acts chapter 17, it says, they gladly receive the word. Well, you can gladly receive the gift of salvation that Jesus Christ and God worked out before the foundation of the world. All you got to do is receive it. And I'm sorry, go to John chapter 15. I want you to see this where I get in back to Romans. John chapter 15. I've had an eye surgery too, and I might have a little trouble reading, but I think I'll be all right. That microphone, I'll see what Brother Steve was talking about. John chapter 15. I'm going to read verse 25. That's another thing Brother Moore taught me. When I'm looking at things in the scripture, sometimes if you look at them from the back of the chapter to the front of the chapter, it's amazing things that happen. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. Their law? Saul walked in their law. He was righteous according to their law, and he counted it as what? That's not what the religious system does outside this building. They hated me without a cause. You know, he's died for you. He paid a price for you at Calvary. And if you don't have him as your Savior, if you hadn't received him, you know you hate him. And it's without a cause. This chapter is really interesting. Why did they hate him without a cause? Verse 22. But if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. They don't have a cloak for their sin. What does a pope wear? They've got a public cloak on. You ever been to a church, one of these big churches? Do they have a choir in there? What do they wear? You know what they're doing? They're covering up their sins so they can be righteous for God. Nope. They hated me without a cause. He came to save sinners. They think they're not. You think they're not if you're sitting there without Him as your Savior. You can stop it. You can do it tonight. You don't have to do it on the side of the road. There's no place to do it. If any place is good. Here would be great. Another honor for Brother Moore. Fantastic. Trust the Lord. Receive Him. That's all you got to do. This whole chapter is full of that. Verse 18. If the world hate you, and I'm taking this out of context a little bit, because the world hates us. When we preach this message, it's hated. You know that it hated me before it hated you. The world hates God. It hates Jesus Christ. And we have a fantastic free gift. You know, when Brother Moore got up off that floor, he saw the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I don't know if he ever deviated that for 1 minute. And he set out to do something that nobody in the Southeast has done. Now, how can I stand up here and give the honor to the man? Back to Romans chapter 13. I'm going to try this. Lord willing, we'll get it done. And I know some things that he taught about this. But I'm going to talk to you about him. Verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth
the power of God resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For the rulers are not a terror to good works. Who are the rulers? For the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he, that's the ruler, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. That's what Brother Moore was. He was the minister to all of us for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God. And Brother Moore would warn you about what's coming. You know? Hey, and this is interesting. Brother Moore was fantastic about rightly dividing the word of truth. How many people in here know that there's a fourth rapture? Whoa. How many people in here know about a fourth rapture? Nobody's raising their hand. Well, it's here.
Look with me at at Revelation. I sometimes refer to this as a Baptist rapture. Depends on who I'm talking to.
Here's one right here.
In Revelation chapter 20. And I'm going to start reading in verse 10. And the devil that received them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. It's kind of the end of the 70th week of Daniel right there. And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. How are their works going to be judged? And how are they going to get before that throne? They're dead. God's brought them up before the throne. That's a rapture. They're standing there before God. Look what's happened to them. And the sea gave up their dead, gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell, when you die, you go to hell. Trust the Lord. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. That's after they're judged. Well, if you're dead and you stand before that throne, wouldn't you say, if you were standing before God, that you're back alive again? Wouldn't He bring you up to do that? You don't want that one, folks. Look at verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. There's three resurrections in this Bible where you could be blessed and holy. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power. Do you understand what I'm talking about now? Is that clear? You're going to be brought up before the white throne judgment and condemned? Brought up from where? Sounds like a rapture to me. I'm counting that anyway. You might not. What about it now? Do you see a fourth rapture? No. Golly. Did that go over everybody's head?
Resurrection.
Okay.
It's just a word difference.
Word difference. You standing there, how do you get it? Well, okay. If I'm saying rapture, then I'd have to be real technical and say we don't have a rapture. We don't. What happens to us?
Not a
We're caught up.
Changed.
We're changed.
Here's a resurrection right here.
You better be careful about the words in the King James Bible.
Look at verse 5. But the rest of the dead lived not again till the 1,000 years were finished.
The rest of the dead lived not again till the 1,000 years were finished.
This is the first resurrection. What he's saying in that sentence right there is based on what's happening in verse 4.
That's where the 144,000 are resurrected. This writer says that's the first resurrection. He must not know what Paul just told us. Golly, I wonder if that book was written before Paul wrote any of his. Just curious. Brother Moore taught us how to rightly divide. Another thing Brother Moore said is precious to me. There's just so much that man knew. He said that people would come along after him and see additional things to their need. He said the Lord showed him everything he needed to know. Somebody coming along behind him, the Lord would show them what they needed to know to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The man was a phenomenon.
You just can't miss it.
Let's see.
I'm sorry. Maybe I messed all that up, but back. Okay.
Did I complete with the thing in Romans?
Let's see. Romans chapter 13 again. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to them that, to execute wrath upon them that doeth evil. Wherefore, you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake.
Am I reading the right thing?
Yeah. For this cause pay you tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to honor.
Well, Brother Moore needs a tribute from us. He needs honor from us. He accepted the ministry that Jesus Christ gave him. He was a gift given to the body. Ephesians chapter 4, men were given to the body. And now's another thing you can talk about Brother Moore. Brother Moore would not allow somebody to call him a pastor. He was a teacher, he was a preacher, and he was an evangelist. He would get into a pretty nice discussion with you if you called him Pastor Moore.
He just didn't like that.
But those men are given as gifts to the body.
Let's see. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'm going to start reading for, since we're talking about verse 10. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 10. He's talking about Jesus Christ who died for us, that where we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Paul knows about this right off the bat. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves.
Well, we know that Brother Moore was over us in the Lord. He used the authority of the King James Bible to show us the gospel. He used the authority of the King James Bible to teach us 2 Timothy 2:15. And it was a matter of him repeating it time after time after time. I believe if somebody quoted it to me backwards, if I was falling off the cliff, I'd understand what it said.
30-some years I've been listening to that. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. We exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly
And Brother Moore did stern warnings. Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. Have I missed the point about Brother Moore yet? See that none render evil for evil unto any man. I saw some folks jump on Brother Moore, you know, and I said, and Brother Moore would say this too. And I said, why would they do that to me? You know what? He did. He didn't say a word. I don't know how he did that. I know why now. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good. I believe he told Pat Burrell, he said, Pat, do right. Wow. Both among yourselves and to all men. And you could read those seven things below that, and you'd see another description of Brother Moore, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go to, First Timothy chapter 5. First Timothy chapter 5. And I can't not read this scripture. Verse 17. Let the elders that rule be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine. We miss this in a Bible conference from Brother Moore. There's so many things that we miss. You know, I've sat many a time behind Brother Moore at a Bible conference, knowing that he was going to preach next or be there next. And in particular, somebody might have to hit me with his name. In particular, in a Bible conference in Chattanooga, what I saw was absolutely amazing. I don't know how many people were there, but there was this man. He called himself a preacher, and he stood up in a white three-piece leisure suit, and his name was McLean. And he got up there, and I don't remember the subject. But when he got through, he sat down. And I watched Brother Moore just before he sat down, and this Bible was going like a machine gun back and forth. And when he got through, Brother Moore got up there and preached. And about every verse, Brother Moore would look over there at this guy McLean, and he says, does your Bible say that? Man, if I'd have been that guy, I'd crawl out the door. But Brother Moore would correct you. And he would correct you based on the Word of God, not on anything that he did or was embarrassed about. It came out of the Word of God. What a man. Why don't he deserve double honor? I believe he does. Let's see. I've got a few things written down here. He had a lot of sayings, too. And as far as I know, he was the one that came up with the going, I'm not worth the gunpowder it takes to blow me to hell. But about this time in this thing, or maybe long before me, Brother Moore would have jumped up and he would have said, hey, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And I don't care what you say about me, you're not any good. Your kids are not any good. Your mother's not any good. Your daddy's not any good. Your grandmother's not any good. And your grandfather's not any good. And Brother Moore could look at you and make you believe that he meant that. He wasn't kidding. He knows what Romans chapter 3 says. And he would hold your feet to the fire about that. He worked from authority given to him by God in this King James Bible. And Brother Moore was a servant. If you wanted Brother Moore to teach a Bible class, it didn't matter where it was. I believe Brother Ralph Carson here traveled around with Brother Moore in the beginning. And he knew about these 1,000-mile-a-week trips. Is that right?
Right.
Ralph got saved when he was about 19 years old and ended up in Pensacola next door to the church there. And it turned out Ralph didn't know anything about the religious system. But right off the bat, I asked Ralph for something about Brother Moore, and he told me, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
And through that, Ralph learned about the religious system of this world. You were saved in a United Presbyterian Church, and the guy would tell him, Ralph, read your Bible. Well, Ralph would read his Bible, but he didn't get anything out of it. He got invited over there. I believe, man, you were a part of that. And Ralph's been around for a long time, too. So that's an honor for Brother Moore.
Wow. Bill and Susie Burrell are here. This is an interesting story. I asked them about that. And Jerry, I had your little talk. Bill and Susie are here. And they were invited to a Bible study at Roger Carner's house. And as they left, Susie said, "That man's mean." How many of y'all thought about that? I mean, when I first went to his Bible study, I was scared to not find the scriptures. You didn't want to hold that man up. I already knew that he threw a Bible across the room because it wasn't the right one. Goodness. Were you there, Jerry, when he did that? Wow. What a man. He believed it, folks. Don't stand it in line. But Susie wasn't going back, but it turned out she's and Bill had a long-term relationship with Brother Moore. And the greatest thing that they wrote down on this piece of paper is that 1 Timothy 2:4, where it says that God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, and they especially appreciate the fact that Brother Moore took them to the truth. You know, that's another amazing thing about Brother Moore. I've got this picture of a hill in my mind, and everybody in here is standing around the bottom of the sun. And Brother Moore knows what's on top of that hill. He knows it's the truth of God in this King James Bible. You know, he's got people gnawing at him all the time, calling him on the phone. He's got TV ministry. He's got a tape ministry. He's got every kind of ministry, and I'll get some of those things in a minute. He's got it all. And people are calling him, and it's going on. And then he's got me on the back of a rope. I hope y'all are there too, because he's trying to show me the truth in this book. And I'm about done as a stump. It took a while for me to get there. Praise God, I finally learned how to do that. Well, I got to go, Jack.
People are
going to
buzz, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got to get two here. But I want to go over to the conference. I'm sorry.
That'll take another day or so.
Well, yes, it is. Let's see. One thing about Jerry, and I thought this was great, but a lot of work. He says about two or three of the Pineview Bible camps we attended, 75, 76 time frame, there were six or eight of them sitting around the table during the break with Brother Moore. One of the people in the group remarked about the preacher that was there talking having the same mannerisms and some of the same pet phrases that Brother Moore had. And we made the mistake of saying to Brother Moore, "You must have trained him. He preaches just like you." Well, let me tell you, that's a problem. He don't like that. A cloud came over his face. And as soon as he got up, he left the group. Next preaching service, there he was. He preached. He taught on Proverbs 3:5-6, Titus 1:14, and 1 Thessalonians 2:3. And this included the loudest and most included phrase that Brother Moore said, "Don't follow me, I'll let you down." And in case you don't know what those verses say, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing,
Because when you receive the word of God, which you have heard of us, you receive it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh in you also that believe. And Paul told Timothy to select good men that could train others. I believe at Brother Moore's funeral there were 15 preachers there. I have no idea how many teachers were there. Brother Moore started these conferences that we got. I believe the first conference was in 1977. I'm not sure about that. I know Jerry attended one with us in 78. That's been going on for 33 years. There's thousands of people that have been touched, and I'm going to close with this one. Because, like it or not, Brother Moore's ministry is not over. And there's a man here. Would you stand up? Mike. This is Mike Carey. And Mike can probably tell you about this more than I can. But I asked him to do a little something because Mike has put Brother Moore on the internet. Brother Moore's going around the world now. Is the number 30,000 people that's viewed Brother Moore's programs on YouTube. And Mike has just upgraded that to 30-minute services on YouTube. He has a thing, and I'll lay this over here somewhere, so if you guys want to look where you can get this off of YouTube, you can. So for somebody to think, because Brother Moore's gone, his ministry stopped at Hatton. He's still on TV. He's on the internet. He's a precious man, and he's precious in the sight of God. I'm sorry. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.